Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Go straight out to the HRP guest line. We're joining us now, icon of the college football game, icon of sports, Tim Brando of Fox Sports is joining us. Tim, college football playoff is out. Bama 1, Michigan 2, Georgia 3, Cincinnati 4. Do you feel like the committee got it right?
Oh, yeah. I think the four teams are the four teams. They certainly got it right based on what happened over the weekend. Yeah, that part they got right. I have some issues with the order, the seeding, but the right four teams, absolutely.
What are the issues you have with the order?
Well, I think Cincinnati shouldn't be number four. They're 13-0. I mean, what more can you do? So, but they were not going to put Cincinnati four. As a matter of fact, they weren't going to put them anywhere but four. And that's why I picked them four, by the way, at the start of the year in my original top 10 back in July. Because they are, you know, they're outside the realm. You know, they wouldn't have even made it if Oklahoma State had won. I can just tell by, you know, the metrics that they use, that had Oklahoma State beaten Baylor, that a 12-1 Power 5 team would have gotten in over them, despite what they did to Houston. And, you know, Houston was ranked where? And when did they finally crack the top 25? That was by design, too. So, listen, you know, I'm splitting hairs to some extent, yes, but I'm telling you, that even though the committee got it right with the four teams, doesn't mean that it's not a flawed process, that it's not corrupt, because it is. And playing these games on New Year's Eve, how smart is that? Didn't we learn from before how poorly rated those games were when they had it on New Year's Eve? And that's all because college football can't deal with the antiquated system with their bowls that allows the Rose Bowl to play on New Year's Day at that certain time of day, and the Sugar Bowl to play when they need to play at a certain time of day with separate television contracts. I mean, college football just is still very messed up, no question, on a lot of different fronts. It's not, you know, young people want to be out and about on New Year's Eve. Am I right? I'm 65, but I'm young at heart. You know, I don't think that I really, you know, to think that you're going to change the paradigm of viewer habits because we're college football, I mean, how arrogant is that?
Well, and Tim, it's funny because it seems like we continually go back to this. Look, we went from BCS where it was all numbers driven to now all the biases that go with what we've seen with the college football playoffs and these ridiculous interviews right out of a ballroom in a hotel in which people are telling you, even though when teams play head-to-head, that doesn't matter. It's the eye test of what they see on the rosters. And then they see, like you said, the way they've seeded this whole thing. What the solution isn't going to be 8 teams or 12 teams. It's not going to be until they really take into consideration exactly how they got it right. And I think it was almost fluky to go to 64 and 68 teams with basketball, but they take the broadcasting element into consideration. They take scheduling into consideration so they can maximize viewership, attendance, and getting all the schools in that need to be in. How do they, I mean, what's your solution? It can't be just 8 or 12 teams, right?
Well, no, the 12 teams is really good. 12 teams is really good. It would enhance not just the postseason, which is in my view flawed and corrupt because of the way the politics and layers of bureaucracy handle this within the framework of college football. But also, it's exclusionary. It still remains exclusionary. Now, they can all jump up and down and say, look what we did for Portland and Cincinnati. We finally let a group of five team in. But that's just part of it. And they wouldn't have done it if Oklahoma State could have gotten an extra half yard and Sanders and the kid that was the running back, if he had hit the pylon and Oklahoma State had won that game, they would have been in. That's what I'm telling you, okay? If you had 12 teams, now you get all of the country's geography involved. And you've got the top four teams do get something for being in the top four. They get a bye week. And then you allow campuses to have the first round of games. And games that are being played in mid-November between teams ranked anywhere between, say, number 15 and 22 all matter even more. Conference championships all matter even more. Anything that allows the college football postseason to not include someone saying, okay, in an interview with Reese Davis, well, the committee thought, okay, that's good for college football. We need to get rid of that. Let people earn the right on the field to get in.
Yeah, I'm with
which
you.
We can do when we have 12 teams. If you allow four teams that have great seasons in the regular year and they win championships, those championships matter. You put them in. Then you have at-large berths for those that did not win their conference championships, and they have to perform to a high level to get in. At that point, there's nothing wrong with using computers, and there's also nothing wrong with having a committee. But I don't want them in charge of picking everything. You know, the committee can help on the fringe area, but we don't need the committee to be the all-powerful, you know, Oz, 13 members of a committee that all claim to be Oz. We don't need that. There's just a lot to be done, fellas. Well,
That's where they lost me, Tim, because it was one thing when a head-to-head happened less than 2 weeks from the standpoint that they ranked the losing team higher. But then you go and say when Brian Kelly leaves Notre Dame, well, we can factor in the fact that when a coach leaves a program, we can penalize them. Yeah. But then Alabama loses one of their best players at wide receiver, and they don't get punished. They get all the way to number one when an argument could have been made for Michigan.
Yeah, no question. I you know, here's what happened there, though. The gerrymandering process was this, okay? I can take you within the bowels of, you know, that hotel in Texas and tell you that they said, hey, man, we cannot put Georgia and Alabama against each other, you know, for their next game. We just can't do that. We cannot do that. And yet, okay, to show you the difference with how the bureaucrats handle football versus basketball, in the NCAA tournament, there are bylaws written that state when a certain conference has, you know, 10 teams in, like the Big Ten 1 year or the Big East 1 year, we have to put the format together so that the two teams within the same conference cannot meet one another until there are no other options within that specific region, meaning they can't play one another until the regional finals. We will slot that accordingly. We will keep them apart. Okay, well, that's going to happen in basketball, whereas within football, they will do everything in their to make sure that we get an all-SEC final. That's what the thinking is. Trust me, they're not thinking, someone implied today that happens to be in media, okay, writes for The Athletic, he said, well, you can bet that the committee is banking on and hoping for, or that maybe ESPN is hoping for a Michigan-Georgia final. Okay, fine. Those would be two huge markets. And if it, by the way, happened to be an Alabama, Michigan final, that would be great. I mean, excuse me, it would be Alabama, Michigan. That's what they want because Georgia plays Michigan coming in. Those would be two great ratings games. But college football should be above that. It should be more like the Super Bowl where we are not dependent on teams and market sizes and followings. You know, we should be really trying to get, you know, the best matchups. That's what we should be all about. And, look, they did everything they could to keep Cincinnati out of it. And by ranking them four and making sure that they play Alabama one, they think they've done that now. That we have to put up with them once. We're not going to make it. We don't want to have to put up with them twice. So this is what we're going to do. I think that gerrymandering process takes place. And I know that takes place. And until such time as they allow for transparency, and before that last particular poll comes out, the last standings are announced, until they let live microphones go in there so we can see and hear exactly what's transpiring, I believe it's corrupt, absolutely corrupt.
Tim Brando of Fox Sports, our guest on the HRMP guest line. I echo a lot of the same sentiments that you've brought up, Tim. And you mentioned a couple of things that you would change in college football, but you said there's a lot that they could change. What are some other things that you think would be good for the game?
We need unified leadership. We need a czar. We need the conference commissioners need to meet, and I mean all of them, not just the Power Five, but the Group of Five needs its representation too. And they need to, for a period of every 5 years, have an anointed czar, someone that is looking out for the best interest of all of college football, not just their leagues. The conference commissioners are only taking care of their constituencies, nothing more, nothing less. That's all they care about. And college football needs unified direction. We need so many different changes to take place. If we had just had NIL to deal with this year, okay, by example, if we had just had NIL to deal with this year, it would have been hard on a lot of people. If we just had realignment to deal with this year, it would have been, and I think definitely was, impactful. The reason, and that's why we don't have expansion now, is because of the way the SEC went in and poached those two teams out of the Big 12, while the two conference commissioners, two of the four people that were on the committee for expansion and worked on it for 2 years, Bob Bowlesby, Greg Sankey, Thompson from the Mountain West Conference, and Jack Swarbrick were the four men. They were going over that for 2.5 years, all the while the commissioner of the SEC was working towards poaching two teams from Bowlesby's conference. Okay? That was so mind-blowing that a cease and desist letter was written by the conference commissioner of the Big 12 to ESPN. I mean, that was an embarrassment. Okay? That can't happen. Well, the reason why we're not going to 12 right away is because the other commissioners are saying, well, now we know what the SEC was trying to do. They wanted to get Oklahoma and Texas to get more brand names so they could fill their coffers with four teams going into a 12-team playoff. So we're not going to have that happen until these television deals are done. That's why this stalemate is underway. All right? If all we had to deal with was the signing day, okay, the early signing period on December the 15th, which is the reason why these coaches are bolting for greener pastures to such a point that fans, players, some in the media are going, how dare they do this while talking about players being loyal and players being the kind of kids that see everything to its end, not quitting on its team and not going into the transfer portal. Okay. Well, that's happening for a reason. I mean, the head coaches of these college football programs are not responsible for that date being December the 15th. But they are going to react to that date being December the 15th. And that's why you saw what happened at USC and you saw what happened at LSU and the impact that it had on both Notre Dame and Oklahoma. We need to get rid of that kind of crap. Somebody's got to say, enough already. We're making ourselves into a national joke, a national punchline. Why go there? Why set yourself up for such bad press? They need to take a little look over at the people in New York and how they protect their shield in the NFL. Because they do. They go out of their way to remove the veil of impropriety away from everything. Even when we know there's sometimes improprieties in pro football, they do everything they can to remove the veil of that. College football makes every one of its national mistakes so easy to lampoon for everyone in media. It's a shame. But unless you have unified leadership and someone that says to the conference commissioners, hey, fellas, we need to get together and make sure these kinds of things don't happen. And I think that's a long way off. It may happen in your lifetime. I don't think it will happen.
Tim, great stuff. Appreciate you taking the time and look forward to chatting again in the future.
You bet. Always good to be with you. Thank you.
Tim Brando of Fox Sports. Boy, he had some interesting things to say. Called the college football system flawed and corrupt. Is he right? That's next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.